is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
George W. Bush, calling himself a war president, used variations of the words war, terror, kill, and danger more than 70 times in a Meet the Press interview that lasted less than an hour. That represents the use of fear-based wording roughly every 50 seconds. But most Americans don't consider the war on terror the most important issue facing the country. A January poll by the Pew Center showed that only 37% view defense and security as the nation's most pressing concern. 35% list the economy, while nearly 20% list other domestic issues as the most important. The Federal Election Commission decided yesterday that many of the political committees raising soft money to campaign against George W. Bush are subject to regulation. The FEC voted 4-2 to warn Americans for a Better Country that activities that promote, attack, support, or oppose a federal candidate must be paid for with hard money, a type of political donation that, unlike soft money, has tight restrictions on sources and amounts. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said the ruling will put out of business groups like America Coming Together, the Media Fund, Partnership for America's Families, and the MoveOn.org Voter Fund. All are pro-democratic groups organized under Section 527 of the tax code. A 24-year-old Army Petroleum Supply Specialist out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma, died of a drug overdose on Father's Day, one of 22 suicides reported among troops in Iraq last year. According to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, who discussed the suicides in a briefing last month, this represents a rate of more than 13.5 suicides per 100,000 troops, about 20% higher than the recent Army average of 10.5 to 11. The number cited does not include cases under investigation and also excludes the suicides by soldiers who have returned to the United States. In its weekly report on the treatment of returning battlefield soldiers, the hospital never mentioned the suicides. The Pentagon plans to release the findings of a team sent to Iraq last fall to investigate the mental health of the troops, including suicides.
More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
An advertisement for a talking dartboard featuring a cartoon of a topless woman with targets over her breasts was condemned by Britain's advertising watchdog for condoning violence against women. The ad, which appeared in the Burton Menswear catalog, included text inviting players to hit the target and I squeal with delight. Arcadia Group Brands, which owns Burton, said they had received 22 complaints about the ad, but added that the dartboard was one of a number of adult-themed novelty items for sale during the Christmas period and had been extremely popular.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Instead of following America's environmental rules, polluters have found a better deal. Bush & Company lets polluters write their own rules for fun and profit. At issue are long-delayed EPA rules to regulate the amount of toxic mercury spewing out of the smokestacks of some 1,100 coal-fired power plants across America. This airborne mercury is grotesque. It's a neurotoxin that causes brain damage in unborn children and infants. Power plants produce 41% of all industrial mercury contamination, 48 tons a year, and they're presently the only unregulated source of this pollution. So the Bushites have boldly stepped into the breach with new regs that they say will eliminate 70% of mercury emissions by 2018. Progress, right? Hardly. Why 2018? That's 12 years and untold numbers of brain-damaged children down the road. The technology exists today to eliminate 90% of these emissions. But utility lobbyists balked at a more stringent rule, saying that the companies didn't want to incur the expense of the more efficient technology. Bush's EPA not only went along, but actually let a top industry lobbying firm, Latham & Watkins, write much of the language used in the agency's proposed rule, lifting many of the paragraphs verbatim from Latham & Watkins' memos. The head of the EPA's Air Policy Office, Jeffrey Homestead, said the use of the lobbying firm's language was merely the result of an interagency mix-up. "That's not typically the way we do things, borrowing language from other people," Homestead said. What Jeffrey didn't say is that he came to the EPA from, guess where, Latham & Watkins. There's more. The chief counsel of the Air Policy Office also came from Latham & Watkins. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this corrupt rulemaking process, call the Clean the Rain campaign, 202-797-6692.
There's another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Happy Thursday, my friends. We're going to be a fascinating show today. In about a half hour, we're going to have on the phone the campaign chairman for Paul Gallego's campaign, this prosecuting attorney in Humboldt County. I'll tell you all about it when we come to it. We discussed it on the air a couple days ago, but this is mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. Another example of the rise of a corporate aristocracy that to quote Thomas Jefferson that threatens democracy. We'll get to that. We've got a lot of other things to get to first. And in our second hour, in our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, we're going to talk about the Ice Age briefly, and we've got a bunch of news for you and interesting things for the third hour for those of you who get it. By the way, I wanted to start out here. Shelby, who runs radiopower.org, I know while we are on radio stations literally from coast to coast, and of course on the Sirius satellite, Stream 143, beaming all over North America, we also have many listeners on the Internet. And starting on March 1st, our sole internet source will be radiopower.org. And because the iamericaradio.com website is going down, our program is continuing. We're going to be actually on the same satellite up in outer space, going down to radio stations, but through a different network. And we're working that out with all our stations. As far as I know, all our stations are picking up the show. And so it should be invisible to you. But I want, you know, number one, there's been a lot of it's even been in the media, you know, in the newspapers about, you know, what's going on with this network. This show is surviving. And number two, our web stream, for those of you who are listening on the web, is going to be on radiopower.org. And so I encourage you to click that. I'm going to fix our website so that we're pointing just to radiopower.org. And anyhow, what reminded me of all that is I just got an email here just 5 minutes ago from Shelby, who runs radiopower.org, a listener-sponsored website, by the way. This is a Reuters story, and Shelby says, here it is, the GOP bombshell. I knew we were being set up by the media GOP election riggers. Dean was the only man who could beat Bush. And she makes a good point. Here's the story from Reuters, and I'm sure that all the right-wingers are going to be ranting about this, so I'm not I'm not saying this to take on Kerry. This is just, hey, this here's the news. Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry wrote 28 letters on behalf of a California defense contractor who pleaded guilty last week to illegally giving money to the Massachusetts senator, the Los Angeles Times reported today, or on Thursday today. And now, what's so ironic about this? Apparently, this contractor had a factory in Massachusetts. And Kerry, as you know, every elected official, they do what they can, sometimes brilliantly, sometimes stupidly, but whatever, they do whatever they can to keep jobs in their district. And Kerry was apparently trying to keep this company's factory running in Massachusetts. And so he wrote these letters, and this company sent him some money. And we don't have all the details on how much money and how many letters. Apparently 28 letters, and the money looks to be $25,000 from what I'm reading here in this story. But I'm sure, you know, more details will come out. And in a denial issued yesterday, Kerry's campaign said the letters were aimed at protecting jobs at Militech, a Massachusetts firm that was a subcontractor for this guy who is a naturalized U.S. citizen. And he's admitted to giving illegal campaign contributions both to Kerry and to Republicans, Randall Cunningham and Duncan Hunter of California, John Murtha of Pennsylvania, and Joe Scarborough, now with MSNBC, of Florida. So this guy was an equal opportunity buck passer outer, and Kerry apparently got in his way. Shelby, I don't know that this is going to be, I mean, when you look at how completely bought and paid for the Bush administration is by corporate America, I'm not sure that this is going to be the bombshell that's going to bring him down. An awful lot is going to depend on how the media plays it. But it may be the thing that weakens Kerry enough that Edwards can creep up on his, you know, come up on his side here and run past him. And it'll be interesting to see if this becomes a factor in the Democratic primary. If it's a strong enough story to play in the national election, it'll play, of course, in the primary. Frankly, I think, you know, anybody's got a history. Everybody's got a history. And the Bush administration's doing their opposition research, you know, frenetically and enthusiastically and as quickly and aggressively as they can. And they're going to roll out, they're going to try as hard as they can to define either Kerry or Edwards or both or whoever becomes the candidate as quickly as a candidate is decided, and which is one of the good reasons that this primary process is being dragged out. One of the good reasons for the Democrats. But the other thing is that the plan on an October surprise. The Bush administration, these guys are no dummies. They've been in politics a long time. They know what it takes, and they're going to be pulling out all the stops. And in fact, I wanted to talk about Howard Dean here, not so much a tribute, but just to point out a couple of things. I got an email from him, you know, it was a mass email, but I got an email. I'm on his mailing list. I sent him some money at one point. And Jesse Jackson had a nice article about him. But before I get to that, just thought I would share with you quickly a conservative alert. Conservative alert for the day. Yes, indeed. Actually, it's a two-part one. The first one comes from conservativealerts.com. And they say, for the past week, we've been telling you how the radical left-wing group MoveOn.org is calling on Congress to censure the President of the United States, which is the next step before a call for impeachment. It's obvious that the far left just hates, this is in all caps, H-A-T-S, hates President Bush, parenthesis, ever since they couldn't steal the 2000 election, exclamation point, close parenthesis, and will stop at nothing to bring him down by hook or by crook. See, somebody needs to plan. Maybe I should write it, an article for Newsmax about how the Democrats are going to use rigged voting machines so that the Republicans will get on the bandwagon about doing something about these voting machines. Anyhow, here, back to this conservative alert. MoveOn.org took out a full-page ad in the Washington Post, and they've gotten tens of thousands of their members to contact Congress demanding that the president be censured. Now they're going even further. Today they're sending thousands of their members directly to their senators' district offices while they're home on recess, telling each one one to support Century and the President. The loony left just won't quit, so neither should we. It's an action item. And somehow, the liberals always seem to have all this extra time on their hands to show up in the streets and in these legislators' offices. Of course, it's more difficult for conservatives to do that. We work for a living. Oh, my. Forgive me. The implication regards, I mean, this is going back to the early days of right-wing talk radio trying to define these stereotypes of anybody who's a liberal is on welfare, right? Give me a break. But together we can still counter this latest offensive by MoveOn.org. Here's how. And, here's what they're, number one, of course, they want you to send them money because they're going to take out an ad supporting Bush. But then here's the tip, and it's an excellent one. I encourage you to do the same thing. They've got on their website a place where you can go and you can find the local phone number of your local congressman or senator. Of course, that's in your local phone book, your telephone directory. You can call Congress directly at area code 202-224-3121. Area code 202-224-3121. That's the main number for the Capitol. And ask for your representative, your member of Congress, and your senators. And call their offices, and you can get their home, your local offices. Although, like I said, you could just look in the telephone book. Anyhow, they say, call your local number today. Inform the person answering that you are a constituent, that you just wanted to make sure he or she heard from a normal, and this is normal in all caps, right, in this email, from a normal mainstream voter, and insist that the senator not, in all caps, listen to any radical calls for censuring President Bush. Remind the senator that the majority of his or her constituents support, in all caps, the president, and that you're going to keep a sharp eye out on what the senator does and says regarding this important issue. Well, of course, I mean, you can do the same thing and just remind the senator that the majority of his or her constituents actually don't support the president. He's only, I mean, he's a 44% right now against Kerry and 43-45% against Edwards. And that you're going to keep a sharp eye out on what the senator does or says regarding this important issue. Be kind but firm, then thank the person who answered, hang up, and start over again with your other senator. Wise advice from the right wing. Now, I also got an email today from the Bush-Cheney campaign. I'm not sure if this is from former Enron lobbyist and RNC head Ed Gillespie, or if this is just from the, apparently it's just from the campaign, georgewbush.com. I am signed up with them as a volunteer. Something you might find actually very interesting to do. Go and sign up as a volunteer. You get to figure out all these interesting things you learn. Well, here's the email. It is the year 2000. In the presidential campaign, New Mexico hinges on 366 votes. Florida on only 537 votes. Iowa is won by 4,144 votes. Wisconsin by 5,708 votes. Oregon is decided by 6,765 votes, and New Hampshire by only 7,211 votes. In the closest presidential election in modern history, 24,731 people in a nation of 280 million make the difference for the 59 electoral votes that ultimately decide who is president. The year, then they go on to say, the year is 2004. Another presidential campaign is here. As a Bush volunteer, you've made an important commitment, bloody, bloody, blah. The president's counting on you. Will you be one of the people who makes a difference this time? Will you? So much for our conservative alert for the day. Or our conservative alerts. Yes. If they only had a brain. Well, part of the problem is that there are some very smart people on that side who are assuming that there are some very gullible people out there listening and, to right-wing talk radio and watching the TV ads that are coming. And frankly, the problem is, as I said, I don't underestimate the intelligence of the American public. I just realize how hard people are working and how little time they have. So we all have the obligation. We all have the obligation to be educating people and getting involved and informed. This is Tom Hartman. You're in the real free speech zone. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Happy nation, living in a happy nation, where the people understand and dream of a
Welcome back. 25 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. And, mentioning our web change. We're still going to be on Sirius Satellite as well, as well as our local, as the local station you're listening on. So however you're listening to the show, everything will be fine after the week after next. So giving Governor Dean his due for rousing Democrats. This was an article that Jesse Jackson wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times. And I really think that he makes some good points. And I just want to just honor Howard Dean for a moment. Without being sappy, but just, this is a guy who gave the Democratic Party back their spine, who has awakened many Democrats, many liberals, many progressives, many centrists, many Republicans who have become disillusioned with their party. I mean, Howard Dean, if you were to look at how he governed Vermont economically, He was almost a Rockefeller Republican. I mean, Nelson Rockefeller was in favor of liberal social policies and conservative fiscal policies. That used to be the mainstream. And it's amazing to me that he has been portrayed as a lefty. But anyhow, he has pointed out the danger of corporate power and corporate monopolies, the danger of corporate special interests, the danger of aggregated media. He has been an advocate for gay rights. He has been one of the first people to speak out and say that this war was the wrong war at the wrong time, fought in the wrong way with no plan to get out. And perhaps most important, with his internet project, he got young people involved, not just young people. I mean, here I am, an old fart. I got involved with his internet thing. And he got people involved, and he raised money without having to go to big corporations with his hat in his hand, which was something brand new for the Democratic Party. And here's this email that I got from him yesterday. I mean, that everybody who sent him money, I think, got from him. He says, secondly, we will, first keep active in the primary. By the way, Brad Walrod sent me an email about the Dean superdelegates, just basically saying that they're now free to go with whoever they want, and Kerry and Edwards are courting them. There's, I think, 118 of them. I thought I had that right here, but I must have mislaid the piece of paper that Brad sent me. Maybe it was 181, something like that, under 200. So anyhow, Dean says, number one, keep active. Number two, we're going to convert Dean for America into a new grassroots organization. So he's going to do sort of like what Ralph Nader did over the years, with Public Citizen, or at least it sounds like that's what he's talking about doing, and just being an advocacy group and trying to keep these folks honest. And number three, and this is a big one, he says, there have been a lot of people who have decided to run for office locally as a result of this campaign. I encourage you to run for office and support candidates like you who run for office. We will use this enormous organization to support you as you run. We will change the face of democracy so that it represents ordinary Americans once again. And this is what Howard Dean has brought to America. And so much hope and so much positive energy. And it has, the other Democrats have done a very good job of some would say plagiarizing, some would say learning from his style, his positions, his rhetoric, his courage. And I think that's a fine thing. I don't care if a politician has to learn it from another politician or if they're born with it. If they figure out that it's okay to stand up to George W. Bush, and they start doing it, God bless them. I want to see more of it. It's this, and not just to George Bush. George Bush is just a small symptom of a very large problem, which is the corporate takeover of democracy, we're not talking about small and medium sized corporations. They are the heart and soul of this country. We're talking about fewer than probably 1,000. Very large corporations that are toxic to democracy. And it's a real danger, and Howard Dean pointed it out. Hopefully his message will continue. 12:30, stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
San Francisco Bay is one of the most unique and important ecosystems in North America, and it's in the middle of one of its biggest population centers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. San Francisco took its name from the bay it overlooks, and John Hart says that's a clue to the bay's importance. Hart is the author of San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary.
You can think of it as an intersection of two animal highways. There is the north-south highway of the Pacific Flyway, perhaps the most important stop for shorebirds and for waterfowl. About 1 million individuals of each can be found in the fall and winter. And the other highway is the east-west highway, traversed by anadromous fish and other water creatures.
Salmon pass through the bay as they head into rivers, and a variety of Pacific fish species spawn in the estuary. But the San Francisco Bay Area is a major urban center. It's also a significant agricultural producer and a base of major industries, including shipping, oil refining, and chemicals. On top of all that, recreational use is growing. Hart says all these interests have to share the resource.
San Francisco Bay is not a wilderness, and it never will be a wilderness again. It's got 8 million people living around it. Along with the population, you've got a tremendous amount of industry, tremendous amount of transportation, big ports, all kinds of vested and economic interests that can't just be disapproved of and shrugged aside. We're all here, and we have to work out a way of living with the system.
Hart says San Francisco Bay has been improving since the 1960s, and he says wetland restoration efforts just getting underway will make it even better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. Or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. All her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all.
And welcome back. And if I believe that it's Phil Oakes, if we are to have that freedom, it has to be a government of, by, and for we the people. We the people in the United States. And Richard Salzman's with us, the campaign manager for Friends of Paul Viegos. Am I pronouncing that right, Richard?
We say Gallegos.
It's Gallegos.
G-A-L-L-E-G-O-S.
Oh, there you go. I wrote it down, Gallegos. And in fact, I've got this website here, votegallegos.org.
That's right, V-O-T-E-G-A-L-L-E-G-O-S.org.
Right. Richard, tell us in a nutshell here what happened. First of all, before Paul Gallegos came along, you had this company, Pacific Lumber Company, and they were doing their song and dance out there in Humboldt County. You're in Humboldt County, California.
Yeah, that's right. Humboldt County, California, up in the where the giant redwoods grow, and on the north coast. It's about 300 miles north of San Francisco. And Pacific Lumber is a company that's been here for over 100 years, and they own 200,000 acres, including the last stands of ancient redwoods that are still in private hands. And the company was bought out over 20 years ago by Maxam Corporation, famous for Charles Hurwitz and his savings and loan scandals out of Houston, Texas. And things have become difficult ever since then with what's referred to as the timber wars.
So let me just interrupt. The company was essentially a local company up until 20 years ago.
And it had a reputation for sustainable harvesting. These people were in the timber business, so they wanted their great-grandchildren to also be in the timber business.
Right, and now they're in the money business because they're owned out of Houston.
Well, Maxam is, they're not in the timber business. They're in the liquidation business. They bought Kaiser Aluminum, liquidated it, raided the pension fund. They have a reputation for that. This was a junk bond leveraged buyout. Michael Melkin helped finance the deal. And because there was such high debt, they had to increase their rate of harvest in order to pay off the debts on the junk bonds. And that may play a role in the story. At any rate, there's been difficulties because of their accelerated rate of harvest of the ancient redwoods. And at one point, there was a purchase, the Headwaters purchase, you're probably familiar with it, and the federal and state government came in and negotiated a deal to buy some 7,000 acres, including some of the old growth.
To protect them.
To put it right, into protected lands. Yeah. And in that arrangement, in that agreement, the company was paid, I think, some $480 million. People on both sides of the issue were disappointed in the deal. Timber interest.
Let's bring it time is running by here. Bring it up to the moment
Let
here.
Let me try to get up there. So the incumbent district attorney had been in office for 20 years when this young defense attorney challenged him. This was in March of 2002.
Now, so the incumbent DA had been basically ignoring anything that this company had been doing.
Well, I don't know that that's fair to say. There are allegations that he was aware of this particular fraud issue and chose not to pursue it, but I don't know that.
So we've got this. We got this new guy, Paul Gallegos, who comes in, and one of the first things he does is files a lawsuit against Pacific Lumber for committing fraud.
Evidence was brought to him after he took office in January of 2003, indicating that this huge arrangement between the government and the private company was based on fraudulent information. And so we filed a civil suit, a fraud lawsuit. Financial fraud is what we're talking about, $280 million of is alleged that they collected unlawfully based on fraudulent information. And that's, you know, these cases come up, they go into court, and they get settled, or so one would think.
Right.
And this corporation said, well, we have a better way of dealing with it. I think they were taking a clue from the way they do it in Italy and in Colombia. They said, let's just remove the prosecutor. But they didn't do it with a bullet. They tried to do it with the pocketbook, and they launched. In California, we have the recall process.
Right. Now we saw the same thing with Daryl Issa putting $1 million into recalling Gray Davis.
The initiative process is considered a populist movement where the people. It's part of you can pass laws this way too through the initiative process. And the key is that these days the only way to get it done is to pay someone to gather the signatures. And in this,
I understand they're paying $8 a signature.
That was just for the last, say, 4,000 signatures. The majority of the signatures were gathered during the same time that the Davis recall was happening, and the same team that was in town gathering for the Davis recall gathered for this one. But they had 160 days. They were 10 days short of the deadline, and they were still 4,000 signatures short. And that's when Pacific Lumber stepped in and said, "We'll just pay." And they paid $40,000 for the last 4,000 signatures,
wow.
That's how they got on the ballot.
So they're trying to recall this guy now. And are they running ads, TV ads, saying he's a nasty guy, vote against him?
As soon as the campaign came, they decided there was a crime wave going on, although no one seems to have any evidence of it. And they're claiming he's soft on crime, and that's the basis for their...
But according to your website, he won all five of the cases he prosecuted during his first year in office. There are increased felony filings by 15% over the previous year. He's modernized the district attorney. He started enforcing corporate crime. Oops, there's the problem, right?
You know, even or equally important to the statistics is the fact that he may have prosecuted four cases, but that office handles some 7,000 cases a year.
Yeah.
And that office is run by the same competent staff of deputy district attorneys that were there under the 20-year regime of Terry Farmer, and or at least in the last years of it. So nothing's really changed. It's the administrative staff has changed. The same decisions are being made in the same value systems, and the difference is that one particular entity, Maxam Corporation, Pacific Lumber Company, doesn't want to have to go to court. So they've spent some $70,000 up to the last reporting period, and we suspect quite a bit more. We'll find out the next filing. They've spent all this money to convince people it's not about the lawsuit. And the law enforcement agencies have unions, and these unions tend to be pretty political. And most of these unions have joined on the fight, which gives...
joined on which side of what fight?
They've been supporting the recall based on these allegations of soft on crime. Interestingly, I just was handed some reports from the Times Standard, a local paper, in October 1986 at the end of Terry Farmer's first term. He was being challenged by someone, and he was being accused of being soft on crime, and all these same law enforcement agencies came out in opposition to Terry Farmer. So it seems to be a pattern. You know, people voted for change when they voted for Paul Gallegos, and change is not always easy for people, and the status quo and the powers that be sometimes feel uncomfortable with change, and they'd like to go back to the way it was. People refer to an old boy network. It's kind of still the Wild West here behind the Redwood Curtain.
Yeah. Richard, I got it. I just want you to paint this picture a little more for our listeners. This company, apparently they're running ads saying this guy's soft on crime, impeach him. It's being funded by a company that's one of the companies that he's prosecuting. If you or I were being charged with anything, I mean, you know, from jaywalking to embezzlement, and we decided to go after the district attorney who was prosecuting us, how long do you think that we would last?
Right. Well, we would thought ill for it. It's a difficult situation. It's emotionally charged. The problem is, for us, the big challenge is to compete with their incredibly deep pockets. And if we can raise enough money to mount the campaign, we hope to in these last 2 weeks, we hope to be able to be competitive.
So how are you doing that, Richard?
Well... we wouldn't mind reaching out to your listeners for it. Go to votegallegos.org or paulgallegos.com on the Internet, or call us 707-444-6220. And please do get in touch or send a contribution to P.O. Box 135, Eureka, California, 95502. It's the Friends of Paul Gallegos. We have, at this point, we've been pretty competitive with their initial period. The first $70,000 they raised, which came to them through two contributions, 90% of which came from Pacific Lumber, we were able to match that. Now, our $70,000 came from over 700 individual contributions.
Right.
So at $100 a pop, we're finding that there's enough citizens in this community that are concerned about it. There's only 70,000 registered voters in Humboldt County.
Yeah.
So it's a small community. But the ramifications here are huge. The precedent it sets was going to send a chill for all elected officials. It's not just district attorneys. You know, there's been questions that have come before the board. We've got a situation here where Calpine wants to bring in a liquefied natural gas plant. We've got some big box stores that want to move in. And there's been times where the county, the board of supervisors or city councils have considered voting against the interest of these corporations. And what it's going to tell is the elected officials, and what it tells the corporations is, listen, if these guys dare to vote against you, just threaten them with a recall. If you finance that recall and you put a smear campaign, you can get them out of office.
Right.
This
is why we need
to challenge these corporations.
We need to go back to laws in this country that say that if you can vote, then you can participate in politics. That is, if you are a human being. But if you're a corporate entity or a church or a union or anybody, any other kind of group, politics is off limits. Let your members do it. Let your employees do it as individuals.
Well, yes, and maybe campaign finance would also be would speak to this issue. What we have here with the initiative process, which is in itself somewhat noble because it's a populist approach, a direct government, the problem is the money is what's corrupted it. Now, if you said you have to go out and gather signatures to recall an elected official, but you need people to do it voluntarily, that would be a different situation than being allowed to pay. And at this point, the only way you get initiatives on the ballot is to pay people to circulate petitions. Traditionally, you get paid $1 or $2 per signature to
do it. And that's wrong. That's
just
wrong.
That in itself is wrong. The fact that they were willing to pay $8 a signature, you can imagine the motivation that that level of financial incentive gave to these circulators.
Oh, sure. Go door to door, bang on people's doors.
Well, not only that, but what they were telling people is this is a petition against rapists. This is a petition against child molesters. And many people don't read the fine print. They just sign on the line.
Amazing. So, we're talking with Richard Salzman, who's the campaign manager of Friends of Paul Viegos, who is the district attorney for Humboldt County, who is facing a recall funded by Pacific Lumber Company, the corporation that owns it, in his area because he apparently dared take them on. Particularly if you live in, KGOE is one of the stations that carries this program, and it's right there in the middle of Humboldt County. 1-800-TALK, yes, if you want to get on the air here and discuss this over the, got another 5 minutes here for this segment with Richard.
That's great.
And if people have thoughts on this. And Richard, tell people one more time where they can get information about this on the web.
Go to paulgallegos.com, PaulGallegos.com. Or if you do a Google search under Paul Gallegos, or give us a call at 707-444-6220. We would appreciate hearing from people throughout, This campaign is being financed on their side by a corporation based in Houston, Texas. So citizens throughout the country may want to step up and say, listen, this is a precedent that we think is inappropriate. I know CBS National News was here yesterday and today. The story is getting more national play. It's been covered in all our regional papers from the L.A. Times on up the state, and I think the New York Times has touched on it. But I'm really surprised there hasn't been more national coverage. Again, the precedent it sets that a person who is a defendant is going to finance a recall to remove the prosecutor.
It's mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Does the lumber company in their advertisements saying that this guy's a lousy prosecutor note that they have paid for the advertisements?
That under the Fair Political Practice Commission rules, and it says if any one donor gives a disproportionate amount of money, there's some certain amounts that trigger at $50,000 in this case, that their ads now say paid for by what they call themselves is the Safety Yes Recall Gallegos Committee, and below that it says major funding by Pacific Lumber. So there's an ad running that claims it's all about crime issues, but it's funded by a lumber company. Now, somebody asked them recently when Robert Manny, the CEO of Pacific Lumber, who happens to be registered to vote in Seattle, not in Humboldt County, he's not really a permanent resident here, and Manny was asked by a reporter, he said, so it's about safety. Has there been a lot of break-ins at the mill lately?
Yeah, right. I mean, you got crimes against trees? Is that what's going on here? Richard, we've got a caller here. Rama from Vermont is on the line. Hey, Rama, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Or welcome back. Rama's our fill-in host here.
Hello.
You got a question for Richard Salzman.
Well, actually, one quick comment, and then I'm going to get out of the way, because, Tom, what you were saying about if a person tried to pull the same stuff the corporation is, Martha Stewart is being charged in part with defrauding her investors exactly for proclaiming her innocence after she had been charged with something.
Right.
That's interesting.
So
interesting
I'll get
point.
Out of the way. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we thought the analogy
Thank
here
you,
would
Mama.
Be with Elliot Spitzer in New York, where he, as an attorney general, has been doing charges against corporations' securities fraud, and many people have said, well, that really should be handled by the SEC, but they haven't been handling it. So he took it upon himself. Well, any one of these huge financial firms that he's been suing successfully could have done a similar thing if New York had a recall process.
Right, they could have eaten him alive.
To tell you the truth, I'm disappointed we haven't heard from his office. I would have thought he'd step up and voice some support. But we haven't heard from our own Attorney General, Bill Lochner, in California, and that's been disappointing that he hasn't been speaking up and saying, wait a minute, the precedent this sets, you know, next it's going to be drug manufacturers or any other kind of organized crime saying, listen, if these guys dare to go after us, and that's why I make the analogy to what they do in Italy and Colombia, you know, they put fear in the prosecutors and the judges. Don't dare go after the cartels and the organized criminals. Well, here, this corporation is saying to the elected officials, if you dare to challenge us on any requests we make or anything we've done, people talk about this contractual relationship. And, you know, it's not just don't think that this is a progressive or liberal issue. The true conservatives are outraged by this because they understand that contractual relationships are based on honest agreements and that the capitalist system is based on contractual relationships, that you need people to follow the rules. The other thing,
this has to do with the heart and soul of democracy, Richard.
It really is. And it's wonderful to see the coalition that's been built of people on both the right and the left coming together.
Yeah.
And
I agree. Richard, we're running out of time here. I want you to give the websites one last time before we run out of time.
Paul Gallegos works perfectly. It's G-A-L-L-E-G-O-S. PaulGallegos.com, 707-444-6220. Please give me a call. I'll be happy to speak with anyone about this issue, and I thank you for the time.
This is Richard Salzman. Richard, thank you very much for being on the program today and for sharing with us your insights and your experience there in Humboldt County, California. Paul Gallegos, G-A-L-L-E-G-O-S.com is the website. This is Tom Hartman. 10 minutes before the hour. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday, from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody. What do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Could be corporations. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. 5 minutes before the hour. It's time for we call it the annual rant. The situation that we've just been talking about is a classic example. Corporations are great devices for making money. I am all in favor of them. I want you to know I'm in favor of free enterprise. Capitalism is an efficient and extraordinary system when it operates. It's just like saying baseball is a great game, but you've got to have rules. If the pitcher can come up and beat the batter over the head with another bat. If there's no rules, you can't have a decent baseball game. If you don't have rules, you can't have free enterprise and capitalism. And I'm going to just read you this. This is a Wisconsin law 4479. It was removed from the books in 1954. But this was these laws like this started in 1784. It was the first time one of these laws. This is a typical law. Every state in the union had these laws up until just the last few decades. Political corporations by contributions. No corporation doing business in this state shall pay or contribute or offer, consider, agree or pay, to pay or contribute directly or indirectly any money, property, free service of its officers or employees or thing of value to any political party, organization, committee, or individual for any political purpose whatsoever or for the purpose of influencing legislation of any kind or to promote or defeat the candidacy of any person for a nomination, appointment, or election to any political office. Penalty. And that's the entire thing. That's it. 100%. All the words. Penalty. Any officer, employee, agent, or attorney, or other representative of any corporation acting for and in behalf of such corporation who shall violate this act shall be punished by imprisonment in the state prison for a period of not less than 1 or more than 5 years, or by both such fine and imprisonment. And if a corporation shall be subject to a penalty, double the amount of the fine, and if a domestic corporation, it may be dissolved, and if a foreign corporation, out-of-state corporation, its right to do business in this state will be declared forfeit. We got to go back to these laws. It held America together for over 200 years. It's the only thing that's going to pull us back together. This is Tom Hartman. Stick around.
It's coming through a hole in the air. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the siren's name.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. George W. Bush, calling himself a war president, used variations of the words war, terror, kill, and danger more than 70 times in a Meet the Press interview that lasted less than an hour. That represents the use of fear-based wording roughly every 50 seconds. But most Americans don't consider the war on terror the most important issue facing the country. A January poll by the Pew Center showed that only 37% view defense and security as the nation's most pressing concern. A 24-year-old Army petroleum supply specialist out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma, died of a drug overdose on Father's Day, one of 22 suicides reported among troops in Iraq last year. According to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, who discussed the suicides in a briefing last month, this represents a rate of more than 13.5 suicides per 100,000 troops, about 20% higher than the recent Army average of 10.5 to 11. The number cited does not include cases under investigation and also excludes the suicides by soldiers who have returned to the United States. The Federal Election Commission decided yesterday that many of the political committees raising soft money to campaign against George W. Bush are subject to regulation. The FEC voted 4-2 to warn Americans for a Better Country that activities that promote, attack, support, or oppose a federal candidate must be paid for with hard money, a type of political donation that, unlike soft money, has tight restrictions on sources and amounts. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said the ruling will put out of business groups like America Coming Together, the Media Fund, Partnership for America's Families, and the MoveOn.org Voter Fund. Howard Dean's heroic quest for the presidency ended Wednesday as the Democrat, winless in 17 contests, abandoned his bid. Dean did not endorse any of his rivals, and both had kind words for the former candidate, with Edwards saying Dean has energized and revolutionized this race and excited a whole new generation of young people. Kerry told reporters in Ohio that it's impossible not to express admiration and respect for the campaign that he's put together and what he's achieved. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
New Mexico is considering a law that would make all drivers exhale into an alcohol detection device in their cars before they could start the engine. The New Mexico House of Representatives on Monday passed a bill to require an ignition lock that will prevent a car from starting if the driver fails a breath test. Critics of the bill called the cost of the device prohibitive, adding the measure would penalize people who do not drink and drive by forcing them to buy an expensive gadget. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you. But as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Instead of following America's environmental rules, polluters have found a better deal. Bush & Company lets polluters write their own rules for fun and profit. At issue are long-delayed EPA rules to regulate the amount of toxic mercury spewing out of the smokestacks of some 1,100 coal-fired power plants across America. This airborne mercury is grotesque. It's a neurotoxin that causes brain damage in unborn children and infants. Power plants produce 41% of all industrial mercury contamination, 48 tons a year, and they're presently the only unregulated source of this pollution. So the Bushites have boldly stepped into the breach with new regs that they say will eliminate 70% of mercury emissions by 2018. Progress, right? Hardly. Why 2018? That's 12 years and untold numbers of brain-damaged children down the road. The technology exists today to eliminate 90% of these emissions. But utility lobbyists balked at a more stringent rule, saying that the companies didn't want to incur the expense of the more efficient technology. Bush's EPA not only went along, but actually let a top industry lobbying firm, Latham & Watkins, write much of the language used in the agency's proposed rule, lifting many of the paragraphs verbatim from Latham & Watkins' memos. The head of the EPA's Air Policy Office, Jeffrey Homestead, said the use of the lobbying firm's language was merely the result of an interagency mix-up. That's not typically the way we do things, borrowing language from other people, Homestead said. What Jeffrey didn't say is that he came to the EPA from, guess where, Latham & Watkins. There's more. The chief counsel of the Air Policy Office also came from Latham & Watkins. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this corrupt rulemaking process, call the Clean the Rain campaign, 202-797-6692.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 6 minutes, 7 minutes after the hour. This is Tom Hartman, coast to coast, border to border, live here on the IE America Radio Network. Last week, 2 weeks ago, CommonDreams.org published a piece of a chapter from a book I wrote called The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight about the shutdown of the what's called the Great Conveyor Belt, and which I've also written about in a book called The Edison Gene that just came out a few months ago about human evolution. And we've got a guest on who has some interesting information beyond what I had on this that I wanted to share with you. And, of course, it's Thursday afternoon. It's the second hour of the program. It's time, typically, that we take a break from politics and talking about democracy and things, and talk about things that you didn't know that you didn't know but you need to know, even though you don't know that you know them, and maybe even what you think you know is not what you know, and possibly everything you know is wrong.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right.
You suspect you're out of sync
and think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Maybe. Mark Hertzgard is on the line with us. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you for having me.
Mark is an environmentalist, a correspondent, political correspondent for the national satellite TV channel Link TV, and the author most recently of Earth Odyssey, Around the World in Search of Our Environmental Future, and most recently The Eagle's Shadow, Why America Fascinates and Infuriates the World. That sounds like an interesting book. That's another conversation we should have. I'd be very interested to. But anyhow, tell us, first of all, I think many of our listeners, although it's probably worth repeating, because I've explained about thermohaline circulation in the Great Conveyor Belt, and, you know, there's this salt water, the great whirlpool up in the North Atlantic, and basically, to boil it down into a nutshell, that if the Gulf Stream shuts down, if warm water starts going up into the North Atlantic, from the equator and ultimately originally coming from the Pacific, it'll throw North America, or it'll throw Europe into another ice age, as it has in the past when this has happened. It'll turn the Central America into a dust bowl. Central North America, it'll turn the Northeast into back into glaciers. Southern California have wildfires. What am I missing there? What else would happen?
The only thing I think that you're missing is the latest development that I wrote about in The Nation, which is that now the Pentagon is taking this difficulty very seriously. As you know, anyone who's followed the science on global climate change and global warming in recent years is aware of this danger that the climate will heat up to where it reaches a so-called tipping point. And eventually, ironically enough, shift over into an ice age, in part because of shutting down the Gulf Stream across the Atlantic Ocean.
Right. The actual total
is that now the Pentagon, of all places, is taking this seriously and saying that climate change, which we usually think of as an environmental problem, climate change is a national security threat of the greatest urgency.
Right. Now, I want to give my listeners, our listeners here now, enough of a snapshot that they can explain this to somebody over the water cooler. It's not that the world gets warmer and warmer and warmer and suddenly it gets cooler. It's that the increased warming will cause the polar ice cap to melt, and will cause, in particular, the icebergs, the glaciers that are on Greenland to start melting, and all of that fresh water coming into the North Atlantic will dilute the salinity of the water that settles in the northern North Atlantic, and that settling of that water is what draws up the warm water from the south. And
that's right.
And the total heat of the planet actually is continuing to increase. It's not that the planet cools down. It's that the extremes become greater.
Exactly.
The equatorial temperatures will actually, they might spike up 10 or 15 degrees if the temperature at the latitude of me here in Vermont drops down by 10 or 15 degrees. So it's not that the planet is getting hotter or colder. The planet is progressively getting warmer and warmer as a result of global warming, the greenhouse effect. But when we talk about an ice age, we're at the same time talking about those areas around the equator turning into wildfire, drought, disaster regions.
Well, this is why the better phrase is not global warming, but rather global climate change.
Yes, or sudden.
The media have used global warming for years because that seemed to be the easiest way to convey to people what was going on. But in fact, technically, we should be talking about this as global climate change.
Right. So now we've got this. This is the setup. This is the situation. And this is a reality. And I interviewed for this for this book that I wrote on this. I interviewed Gary. Oh, I'm forgetting his last name now. He's one of the guys that was on the Iceland expedition 5-6 years ago, where they drilled down into the glacier and for the first time used equipment that could measure ice layers at 1 year apart, because traditionally they had to look at 100-year chunks, you know, and they discovered that ice ages, everybody thought ice ages came and went over a period of hundreds or thousands of years, that it was a gradual process. They discovered that they flip on and off in 2 or 3 years, that it only takes about 2 years or 3 years, sometimes at the most, for all the heat stored in the North Atlantic to dissipate, and boom, you're in an ice age. And so
that again is something that the Pentagon takes very seriously. And the other thing that happened in this new Pentagon report that's very striking is they say the climate change would not only be more deadly, but could come a lot sooner than we usually think. It could be here as soon as 2020. And what that means is that babies who are being born today would be in high school then. So this is not distant, far-off stuff. This is very nearby.
Yeah, and there are some people who are suggesting it could come as quickly as 2004, 2005. Because in the 1980s and the 1990s, there were perturbations in the system. There were local failures around Greenland of the Great Conveyor Belt. Small pieces of it stopped running. And it's got a lot of people very concerned. So tell us about Andrew Marshall. We're speaking, by the way, with Mark Hertzgaard. Is it pronounced
correctly? Hertzgaard. Yeah.
Hertzgaard, right. And Mark, is there a website, by the way, that you have that I
sure,
can tell?
Just www.markhertzgaard, which is spelled MarkHertzgaard. Mark Hertzgaard. And, of course, people can go to the website of The Nation magazine as well, where I'm the environment correspondent.
Right. Okay, great. Now, tell us about Andrew Marshall.
Andrew Marshall. Think of Andrew Marshall as a sort of cross between Dr. Strangelove and Yoda. That's a good
okay.
way to put it. He's a guy who's about 83 years old now, and for the past 30 years, he's been doing what you might call sort of big picture, long-term planning for the Pentagon. He's very close to Donald Rumsfeld, has been for years, basically ever since the 1970s, when those two guys were really the intellectual godfathers for missile defenses, the system that Ronald Reagan called Star Wars, SDI, etc.
Right.
So not exactly a tree-hugging environmental type, but Rumsfeld has put him in charge of long-term planning at the Pentagon, and Mr. Marshall became intrigued and concerned about global climate change, and he had some of his experts check it out. And the result was this report that I mentioned that was completed in December of 2003, and very interestingly was sort of formally leaked to Fortune magazine and appears in the February 9 issue of Fortune. And I must say, as a reporter who reads everything on global climate change and has for years, this is probably the most important and frightening document to appear in a long time in this debate, not because of what it says, because as you've mentioned, Tom, this is the stuff about the Ice Age has been known by scientists involved here. What's significant is that now the Pentagon is saying it, and that makes it very, very hard for the usual skeptics on the right wing, including President Bush, to poo-poo it as, this is just liberal claptrap.
But
Pentagon
now
Pentagon says this, people listen.
So the Pentagon didn't officially release this report, and in fact they haven't commented. So as far as I know, there's been no comment from the administration on this.
Isn't that interesting?
Right. So now, do you know that it was Andrew Marshall who leaked it?
We don't know exactly who leaked it. I have talked to the reporter at Fortune. I should say, emailed with the reporter at Fortune magazine, and he obviously is not going to say exactly who leaked it, but he did say that the actual two authors for the report, which is not Marshall, but his two of his senior researchers, those two gentlemen did vet the summary that Fortune published in its February 9 issue. This is, by the way, an unclassified document, so no laws were broken.
Right.
And those two gentlemen did vet the document before it went to Fortune. Before it went to publication. What's interesting is, why did they do that? Why did Marshall certainly had to sign off on this?
Yeah.
And my own speculation is that he's pretty darn worried about this, and he wanted to make sure that this document did not get buried inside the bureaucracy or ignored by the White House. And so he releases it to Fortune, which is certainly one of the most prestigious and widely read business magazines in America.
Yeah, this is sort of like Joe Wilson saying, "There's no there. You know, there's no uranium in Africa. Sorry, guys. The war in Iraq is the premise is nonsense. But this is about the possible end of civilization, not just a country getting into a war." 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, is our number. We're talking with Mark Hertzgaard, and Josh in California is on the line. Mark with a question. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I hope I'm getting through okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Looking at you through a misty moonlight, Katy did sing like a symphony. Porch swing sway like a Tennessee lullaby, melody blowing through a willow tree. What was I supposed to do?
And welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Mark Hertzgard, the author of A New Ice Age, an article in The Nation. The author also of several books, The Eagle's Shadow, Why America Fascinates and Infuriates the World, and Earth Odyssey, Around the World in Search of Our Environmental Future. And Mark, Joe from Provo, Utah, is on the line with a question. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program. What's up?
Yeah, it looks like you're going to have to relocate, Tom.
Yeah. The thought has occurred to me. It's like, where do you go? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, when your back's against the wall, you fight. You know, that's exciting that Mr. Hertzgard, and I'm going to be looking that up on the web. I'm out in Utah. I'm running for U.S. Senate.
Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation.
But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all come and go out on the ocean, send me up on my pony, on my boat.
And welcome back.
If I were Roy Rogers.
Welcome back to the real free speech zone. This is Tom Hartman. One of the folks in our chat room, you can get to our chat room by going to tomhartman.com and just clicking on the link to the chat room. And one of the folks in our chat room says, now we know why George Bush is so interested in Mars and the moon. Global warming, asteroids. There was a story today about there's a cat in, I believe it was in Thailand, that came down with the bird flu, the first example of this thing jumping species, which has got scientists all over the world going, whoa. But anyhow, you know, sometimes the news is a little overwhelming, frankly. And what we have to do, I always, whenever that happens to me, whenever I get that sense of, there's just too much, I remember a conversation I had with Dennis Weaver. The actor who played Chester in Gunsmoke and Sam McLeod and he wrote an autobiography, which is just a marvelous book. It's a brilliant spiritual autobiography, but it's also an insight into what life was like during the Great Depression in the United States. And Dennis and his wife Jerry are wonderful people. And back 30 years ago. 25 years ago, when Louise and I started a community for abused kids in New Hampshire, Dennis was on our advisory board, and he and his family, they had a country western band, they did some fundraising for us. And so we've kept in touch over the years. And I wrote the foreword to his autobiography, which is called All the World's a Stage, and you can find it on, Amazon or in any bookstore. Anyhow, I was talking to Dennis one time. This must have been about 8 years ago. I was writing Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. I was compiling all of these horrible statistics on environmental collapse. And I just had a day where I just read so much about, the death of the trees and all this. And I just was feeling so down. And I called up Dennis. It was about something else. But in the middle of our conversation, I said, hi, because he's the eternal optimist. And I said, how do you keep yourself up knowing all this stuff? Because he runs an institution, I think it's called Econolomics. I'd have to go find his newsletter. It's a funny word, and so I don't easily remember it. I'm sorry. But he's got an actual institution or an institute, a nonprofit organization, to promote the idea of combining ecology and economics, making money with ecologically positive things. And anyhow, I said, how do you keep yourself up on this stuff? How do you keep yourself from getting depressed? And he said, well, Tom, well, I can't do Dennis Weaver's voice, so I'm not going to try. But anyhow, he says, we've got to get these wagons. We got to get this wagon train across the country here. We got to get from here to there. And he said, if any one of us tries to do the whole thing, it's just not going to work. I'm paraphrasing from memory here. I've got a little better version of it in my foreword to his book. But anyhow, he says, but if each one of us just keeps our eye on our individual wagon, and you keep pulling your wagon, I keep pulling mine, or pushing them, whatever. He says, then eventually we'll all make it. We'll all get there. We just have to, each one of us, keep our eye on what we can do. And I do the best I can, you do the best you can, and we will make it. And I often remember that. In fact, it was one of the one of those bits of advice that that got me thinking about going back into talk radio after 30 years of being out of radio. Well, not it was 30 years ago. 1968, however long ago that was, that I started in radio. 78 was when I got off the air. And we started a show here in Vermont, actually, about a year ago, and which had led to this today. And it was in part, that thing, what can I do? And I know for every single one of you listening today that when you look at the whole huge range of potential options, and it may be something like just, like recycling. It may be, just waking somebody else up. Or it may be running for political office. Or it might be, making a commitment to every month call your elected representatives. Or, every one of us, there is something that we can do to not just improve the world, but to leave this world for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren a better place than we found it. We have not just the opportunity to do that, we have the obligation to do that. And despair is not an option, as Bernie Sanders says so eloquently. And no matter how bad the news is, the one constant, humanity has survived some incredible crises. You look back, through the fossil record, clearly the human race has survived some incredible crises, and the one constant is ingenuity. We can think our way out of things, and we may not know yet what the solution to some of these problems is, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing everything we can that we do know about right now. And I'm starting to sound like I'm preaching, so I'm going to stop at this point and take a call here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Terry from Oregon's on the line. Hey, Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Hey, I'm noticing a new tact with these guys. Yesterday, our local talk radio show here in Eugene was not denying global warming, but now their tact is, well, your simple basic geologic classes have shown that ice ages have come and gone for all time, so therefore, this is just something that naturally happens no matter what, and therefore, there's nothing we can do about it, so why worry about it?
Yeah. And actually, there is an element of truth to that. They really have come and gone over it, but we're not quite due for one this week. Sorry.
Exactly. Well, that's how they work, though. They leave out the little things like this is happening way faster than any other time in recorded history.
Yeah.
How quick the ice age is coming.
Yeah. Yeah, if it is. I mean, this is not a certainty. It's a possibility. It's not even necessarily a probability. But the global warming is an absolute reality that nobody can deny, and it's causing loss of species. Even without an ice age, global warming is creating extraordinary stresses on the planet.
Right.
And the planet is reacting. It's getting sick.
Well, that was his other point is, well, these people believe in evolution, say it was always survival of the fittest. Now they're trying to save every species, but he leaves out the point that it's happening at a much faster rate also.
Yeah, it's there is a certain, I'm telling you, Louise made this comment to me the other day. She said, I still believe there's a good chance that George Bush will get reelected because I understand the power of dollars. Mm-hmm. And advertising and having an entire media industry in your pocket and with you, Michael Powell and all the favors and everything else. But, she's convinced that he's not going to make it, that people are waking up and seeing through it and thinking that. And she says, he's going to go down. And so are all these right wing mouthpieces who are just, parroting lines that are now just transparently nonsense. I mean, just plain old wrong. Terry, thanks for the call. Thanks for alerting us to that. And moving along, Ron in Tucson, Arizona, is on the air about liberal talk radio. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm alive and kicking.
I want to thank Dennis Weaver for putting you back on the air, being responsible for putting you back on the air. I enjoy your show immensely.
Thank you.
And my concern that I still have, though, is this. You have towns like Tucson, where I live, where you have nothing but neo-fascist right-wing radio talk that that are owned and controlled by companies, and you cannot get a liberal talk show on any of the radio stations here. I have that concern, and it also concerns me when I hear people like O'Reilly saying, you know, these the liberal shows can't pull the crowd, they can't pull the ratings, they're not successful. And, you know, I think it's time as liberals to be proud of being liberal and to force the issue about freedom of speech, trying to get on some of these restricted networks, as it were. And I don't know what your opinion is of these two things, but I certainly would like to hear it.
Sure.
Keep up the good work. You're doing great.
Thanks, Ron. What these guys are spreading is a myth. It's just very simple. It's mythology. It's just very simply mythology. This program is doing really well. The program directors that I talk to, the station, I know that the stations that are carrying it are happy with it. They're selling advertising. It's working. And it's working on our end. It's working on their end. And it's growing. The station has been, we've been adding affiliates at the rate of, one every couple weeks easily. We're going to continue to grow. And so I think that the problem has been that there has been this herd mentality that for a long time people in radio programming have thought that talk radio meant conservative talk radio. And, there's a natural reluctance in any industry to do something new and different. And so anyhow, but it's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. This program is just one small piece of a you know, not that I'm part of any grand conspiracy or connected with anybody for that matter, but there are, you know, there is a grand conspiracy coming. You've got this network that's going to have Al Franken on there, where they're rolling out this spring, and I know of other quote liberal talk radio shows that are coming out. The Jones Radio Network is now syndicating Ed Schultz and Randy Rhodes, and stations are picking them up and doing very successfully with them. There's a lot happening. So things go in cycles. The pendulum swings back and forth. The pendulum is swinging. It's swinging really fast. So, Ron, thanks for the good words. By the way, go to TomHartmann.com, and there's a little thing that says, you can click it, says, get this show in your town. And it tells you how to call your local radio station and see if they have any interest in changing their programming. And let us know, and we'll follow up with them. Bill, let's see. Bill is driving in Wisconsin today. Hey, Bill, you wanted to talk about global warming?
Yeah. You talk about climate change.
Yes, sir.
Here in Wisconsin, we used to get snow end of October, first part of November. Now we don't get measurable snow until, like, January.
Yeah. And we're in the middle of one of the hardest, coldest winters that I've ever seen here in Vermont. I mean, I've only lived here, 8 or 10 years. But, Vermonters are scratching their heads. It's just the weather is funky. It is strange. I think we lost you, Bill, there. You must have gone into a dead cell area. But what's interesting to me is 2 years ago, I did a speaking tour of Australia. And I was in a hotel room watching the news. And it was the year that they were having all those fires that were right up against the edge of Sydney, down in New South Wales. And the commentators for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, ABC, but the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, came on, and they're doing the newscast, and they're saying, because of global warming, this is the weatherman, right, the weather guy. He says, well, because of global warming, we've seen these trends over the last 15 years of the climate changing here, and this part of New South Wales is getting drier, and this part is getting wetter, and these are the trends that we're predicting are going to continue as a result of global climate change or global warming. And, we're probably going to, this area is going to be more vulnerable to wildfire because it's going to have less rain. And they're just laying it out. And you get the same thing, in the BBC. And I can tell you, there's nobody in Europe who doesn't know about the possible shutdown of the Great Conveyor Belt in the Ice Age. I mean, and who didn't know about it years ago. But it's all news here in the United States because the people, there's these industry-funded organizations. And there's really only basically about seven scientists out there who are all in the pockets of large corporations or of the oil industry's front groups, lobbying groups, who are running around going, oh, there's no such thing as global warming, or up until this last year or so. And nothing to worry about. Now they're saying, oh, it's a natural phenomenon. Quack, quack, quack. And so anyway, the CBS took the there is this ad that is paid for with your and my tax dollars, that tells lies about Medicare. And I use that, those of you who listen to this program regularly know that I'm very careful when I use that word. And this ad is not accurate. It is intentionally not accurate. And it's part of an administration effort to deal with the blowback they're getting about this Medicare bill. And the ad says, oh, everything's fine with Medicare, and you're going to get these benefits, and this is going to, you know, quack, 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 and call this number, and you call the number, and you get even more information. And your tax dollars and mine are paying for what is essentially an ad for the Republican National Committee, you know, for the Bush Reelection Committee, so that he can claim that he's done something to fix Medicare, when in fact he has begun the process of dismantling it. So anyhow, CBS knew that this ad apparently was not accurate and pulled it. But now they've decided to resume running it. So Progress, the Center for American Progress, is encouraging people to contact CBS. They sent out an email account where people could send an email to CBS to say, pull the Medicare ads now. That email account is no longer accepting messages. So now they're saying send an email to CBS at webmail, webmail, at cbs.com. Or I would suggest if you have a CBS affiliate television station in your area, call them up. They may or may not be owned by CBS. In all probability, they are not. But word travels up the line. Or call CBS in New York City. Call 212-INFORMATION. You can get their phone number. And you know, let them know, hey, if you're going to refuse to run MoveOn.org during the Super Bowl, if you're going to be in the business of censoring ads because they're controversial, how about taking a look at this one, not just because it's controversial, but because it is actually false. American businesses have found a new way to make a buck, by the way. Kick retirees out of their health care programs. I'll tell you about that right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 10 minutes before the hour, exposing the con in conservatives. Stay tuned.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, right. It would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want to be just like my president. I want to make more money than I can spend. I want to build more bombs than I can send. Somewhere I can even spell the name of.
Welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman. United Airlines just slashed benefits for 35,000 former workers after duping employees into premature retirement. The airline cut a deal with about 2,500 flight attendants last July, claiming that by taking early retirement, they would retain better health benefits. A few months later, those benefits were cut. Another one, Weirton Steel, has just been bought out of bankruptcy by International Steel Group. The caveat, killing health care for its 10,000 retirees. And this is just, it goes on and on and on. Lucent Technologies, SBC Communications. Now, here's the deal. We have this center, the Employers Coalition on Medicare, gave over $22 million to George Bush and his buddies in Congress who pushed this provision in the Medicare bill that would give corporations cash, basically hand them millions of dollars to keep them from dumping their employees off Medicare, or to keep them from dumping their employees onto Medicare, off, you know, from cutting their medical benefits. And the companies are now apparently taking the money and dumping their employees. It's just incredible. American businesses have found a new way to make a buck, kicking retirees out of their health care programs. The New York Times reported last week, employers have unleashed a new wave of cutbacks in company-paid health benefits for retirees, with a growing number of companies saying that retirees can retain coverage only if they are willing to bear the full cost themselves. This is a there's this $89 billion subsidy to big corporations, ostensibly to encourage them to keep prescription drug coverage for former employees. The problem, quote, companies are not obligated to set aside funds to pay for retirees' health benefits, and the health plans can usually be changed or terminated at the company's choosing with no appeal available to retirees, end quote. That from the Wall Street Journal. They reported last month, companies are entitled to the subsidy regardless of how much of the cost they pick up themselves. As a result, it does nothing to halt the current rush by some employers to shift costs to retirees. In other words, the companies get the money and the retirees get nothing. They're out left holding the bag. But, of course, George Bush got $22 million bucks from the companies to write this into the law, so I guess what does go around goes around and goes around. Anyhow, this is Tom Hartman. You're in the middle of the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
George W. Bush, calling himself a war president, used variations of the words war, terror, kill, and danger more than 70 times in a Meet the Press interview that lasted less than an hour. That represents the use of fear-based wording roughly every 50 seconds. But most Americans don't consider the war on terror the most important issue facing the country. A January poll by the Pew Center showed that only 37% view defense and security as the nation's most pressing concern. 35% list the economy, while nearly 20% list other domestic issues as the most important. The Federal Election Commission decided yesterday that many of the political committees raising soft money to campaign against George W. Bush are subject to regulation. The FEC voted 4-2 to warn Americans for a Better Country that activities that promote, attack, support, or oppose a federal candidate must be paid for with hard money, a type of political donation that, unlike soft money, has tight restrictions on sources and amounts. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie said the ruling will put out of business groups like America Coming Together, the Media Fund, Partnership for America's Families, and the MoveOn.org Voter Fund. All are pro-democratic groups organized under Section 527 of the tax code. A 24-year-old Army Petroleum Supply Specialist out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma, died of a drug overdose on Father's Day, one of 22 suicides reported among troops in Iraq last year. According to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, who discussed the suicides in a briefing last month, this represents a rate of more than 13.5 suicides per 100,000 troops, about 20% higher than the recent Army average of 10.5 to 11. The number cited does not include cases under investigation and also excludes the suicides by soldiers who have returned to the United States. In its weekly report on the treatment of returning battlefield soldiers, the hospital never mentioned the suicides. The Pentagon plans to release the findings of a team sent to Iraq last fall to investigate the mental health of the troops, including suicides. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs.
If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
An advertisement for a talking dartboard featuring a cartoon of a topless woman with targets over her breasts was condemned by Britain's advertising watchdog for condoning violence against women. The ad, which appeared in the Burton Menswear catalog, included text inviting players to hit the target and a squeal with delight. Arcadia Group Brands, which owns Burton, said they had received 22 complaints about the ad, but added that the dartboard was one of a number of adult-themed novelty items for sale during the Christmas period and had been extremely popular.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Instead of following America's environmental rules, polluters have found a better deal. Bush & Company lets polluters write their own rules for fun and profit. At issue are long-delayed EPA rules to regulate the amount of toxic mercury spewing out of the smokestacks of some 1,100 coal-fired power plants across America. This airborne mercury is grotesque. It's a neurotoxin that causes brain damage in unborn children and infants. Power plants produce 41% of all industrial mercury contamination, 48 tons a year, and they're presently the only unregulated source of this pollution. So the Bushites have boldly stepped into the breach with new regs that they say will eliminate 70% of mercury emissions by 2018. Progress, right? Hardly. Why 2018? That's 12 years and untold numbers of brain-damaged children down the road. The technology exists today to eliminate 90% of these emissions. But utility lobbyists balked at a more stringent rule, saying that the companies didn't want to incur the expense of the more efficient technology. Bush's EPA not only went along, but actually let a top industry lobbying firm, Latham & Watkins, write much of the language used in the agency's proposed rule, lifting many of the paragraphs verbatim from Latham & Watkins' memos. The head of the EPA's Air Policy Office, Jeffrey Homestead, said the use of the lobbying firm's language was merely the result of an interagency mix-up. That's not typically the way we do things, borrowing language from other people, Homestead said. What Jeffrey didn't say is that he came to the EPA from, guess where, Latham & Watkins. There's more. The chief counsel of the Air Policy Office also came from Latham & Watkins. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this corrupt rulemaking process, call the Clean the Rain campaign, 202-797-6692.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. 7 minutes after the hour, the third hour of our program here on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. 1-800-TALK-YES is our telephone number. If there's anything on your mind, 1-800-825-5937. I wanted to get just go through the best of the rest of the news here. This is some interesting things. A nonpartisan group of over 60 prominent scientists, including a dozen Nobel laureates. That's people who've won the Nobel Prize. The Bush administration says this group, 60 scientists, they've just signed this document saying that the Bush administration has systematically ignored and manipulated scientific knowledge to advance the agendas, the political agenda of the administration. How? According to a statement issued by the group through the Union of Concerned Scientists, the Bush administration has placed people who have clear conflicts of interest on advisory committees, disbanded existing advisory committees, censored and suppressed reports by government scientists, and declined to seek independent scientific advice. There's also a problem. This is a quote from this study. The administration has sometimes misrepresented scientific knowledge and misled the public about the implications of its policies. All very polite ways of saying, they're lying to us, guys! They're lying to us! Oh, George Bush would never lie to us. Well, some examples. This from the Center for American Progress. Censoring public health data, Dr. James Zahn, a biologist with the USDA, discovered, this is a quote now, discovered significant levels of antibiotic-resistant bacteria in the air near hog confinement areas in Iowa and Missouri, end quote. But Dr. Zahn was, quote, prohibited on no fewer than 11 occasions from publicizing his research about the potential hazards to human health posed by airborne bacteria resulting from farm wastes, end quote. On one occasion, Zahn was warned that politically sensitive and controversial issues require discretion. We're talking about bacteria that can kill people. Oh, that's a politically sensitive issue. There is a big corporation involved. This is consistent with a broader USDA policy issued in February of 2002, which required USDA scientists to seek prior approval before publishing any research or speaking publicly on sensitive issues, including agricultural practices with negative health or environmental consequences, global climate change, or water contamination. This even extends to Iraq. Prior to the invasion of Iraq in 2003, the administration repeatedly claimed that, you know, Iraq has attempted to acquire more than 100,000 high-strength aluminum tubes for gas centrifuges to be used for enriching uranium. Condoleezza Rice made the claim, as did President Bush in his State of the Union address, and Colin Powell in his February 2003 speech before the UN Security Council. Again, misusing science. But, quote, a set of technical experts from the Department of Energy. Now, get this. This is the Department of Energy, you know, it sounds like maybe they're in charge of making sure you have electricity at your house. The Department of Energy is who makes nuclear bombs for the United States, right? Or, in, you know, supervises it. Actually, we've outsourced it all to various corporations. But the Department of Energy handles all this stuff. They're like, the, you know, among other things. And they got some serious scientists there who know how to build a nuclear bomb. And here we've got Rumsfeld, Cheney, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, and the President of the United States in his State of the Union address all saying these aluminum tubes in Iraq were there to make a centrifuge so that you can spin the thing around and the heavy parts of the uranium, the heaviest isotopes, plutonium ideally, will, you know, gravitate out toward the end and you can extract the plutonium and you can make a bomb. Something that the North Koreans have been doing for a little while, by the way. And those talks are in trouble right now, but that's a whole other, you know, this administration just doesn't understand how to handle diplomacy. But that's another topic. But anyhow, so here you've got now a set of technical experts from the Department of Energy reviewed the CIA analysis and disagreed with this interpretation because the tube dimensions were far from ideal for this purpose. Further, quote, the Department of Energy experts pointed out that if these tubes were actually intended for centrifuges, there should be evidence of attempts by the Iraqis to acquire hundreds of thousands of specific parts, but no such evidence existed. In other words, you need more than just a tube to make a centrifuge. The Iraqis, by the way, we all remember this. The Iraqis said, hey, we're going to use those things to make rockets. And and the rockets will be, you know, within 100-kilometer range. They'll be legal. We can have, we're allowed to have certain. And turns out it was true. Just like they said, hey, we destroyed everything. They gave us a 14,000-page document. Remember that? Of all the weapons that they had destroyed. And the United States went through and took about 8,000 or 9,000 of the pages out of it and said, well, you can't see this. And then delivered the rest of it to the UN. Well, it turns out it was all true. So anyhow, Weapons Inspector David Kaye has now confirmed that there was no nuclear program underway in Iraq. Ignoring science to facilitate logging in national forests, another science failure in this. You know, basically these folks are just anti-science. It's like, you know, the state of Georgia recently, the Department of Education there moving to take not just evolution, but things like plate tectonics and the Big Bang Theory. I mean, basic physics, geophysics and astrophysics out of the textbooks because they may offend some of the Republican base. The federal government spent 9 years and $12 million to create a plan for managing old-growth forests and reducing the risk of fire in 11 national forests. You get this? 9 years and $12 million. This is, you know, good, hard science. And the plan, called the Sierra Nevada Framework, was based on the research of more than 100 scientists. As this this started back with the Bush senior administration, ran through the Clinton administration. These guys did their science, 100 top scientists, and they said, okay, here's what we got to do in order to keep old growth forests intact and reduce the risk of fire. And what happens? Well, according to the Center for American Progress, the Bush administration created a 5-person review team made up of predominantly non-scientists. Predominantly, that would be 3 out of 5, who significantly altered the plan. The changes may, quote, double or triple the harvest levels over the first 10 years, end quote. Most disturbingly, the proposal revisions, quote, appear to lack any scientific basis, end quote. But you can bet that it's going to make money for the lumber companies. Yes, indeed, folks, the lumber this is just a tip of the iceberg. The Union of Concerned Scientists and Henry Waxman are on this thing. And you can find it on their website. I don't have the URL for that right here at my fingertips, but I know if you put Union of Concerned Scientists into Google, it'll come out. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937, Shalel from Virginia is on the line. Hey, am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, you are. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hey, Shalel. I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a couple more, or one more that really sticks in my mind is the whole thing with the quality of the air in New York City after the 911 attacks.
Oh yeah, I don't know how I missed that. And they knew, and they lied.
Totally knew, and they didn't care. I'm an engineer, and the whole thing about 9/11 is really, really not making sense to me. I mean, there's a lot of things that the way those buildings collapsed and everything, it's yeah. not the way they're telling us. There's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
but even
upsetting.
You know, I know that there's this whole. I would call it a conspiracy theory, not in a disparaging way, but I'm, you know, in the genuine notion around, you know, the buildings were brought down by something other than just the airplanes, and that the administration had something to do with it, and they were trying, you know, this was the Reichstagsgebäude fire, those kinds of things. But setting that aside, even, I mean, you know, even if we say, okay, well, you know, maybe that's too far out, there it is still. A huge violation of the public trust for them to have had to have known that there was all that asbestos and all those other toxic chemicals, various acidic chemicals in the air.
Go about your business. Go shopping. Yeah.
Yeah, that were just ripping out the lungs of the people who were you know, the average people in New York City and the people who were trying to pull these buildings together.
20 hours a day to try and rescue people in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got volunteers going from all over the United States in there, and now they're having all these lung problems. And the firefighters having all these lung problems. And then, you know, if they retire, they're going to lose their medical benefits. It's welcome to the wonderful world of George Bush.
You know, public health experts were removed from a lead paint advisory panel and replaced with researchers who had financial ties to the lead industry.
Surprise!
They're putting, you know, mercury polluters in charge of, you know, patrolling the mercury output. It's one thing after another after another.
I know, it's just...
We got to wake up.
We are. Shalal, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We are. And not just listeners of this program. What I'm discovering, you know, I travel around the country and talk to people, and people read my books and they email me and whatnot, and that there's just a huge awakening happening in America. I think it's the reason why we're seeing these huge turnouts in the Democratic primaries. And you're seeing this most recent thing in Wisconsin, that had everybody scratching their heads. Why did all these independents and people who had actually registered as Republicans vote in the Democratic primary? And it wasn't a sabotage vote. I mean, they weren't going in and voting for a fringe candidate. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't. It was and the reason why is because these people intend to vote in the general election for a Democrat. And they want to have some say in who that's going to be. And I think that's an extraordinary thing. Mike in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm alive and kicking. What's up?
Your guest last hour really touched a raw nerve with me. I've been talking to people, and there's one person in particular in my building who is a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. And she's constantly saying, well, these are normal changes in the environment. And I say, you know, there's no global warming, she says.
Right.
And I keep trying to tell her it's not global warming. It is global climate change.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about global warming, take a pot of water. When you boil it, it does not reach the same temperature at the same time uniformly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're absolutely right, Mike. The problem is that there's this huge machine out there funded in large part by the fossil fuel industry and, you know, and with all kinds of money going back and forth between them and the Republicans and a lot of the Democrats, for that matter, that are perpetuating these stories. Mike, thanks for the call. This is a real issue we got to face. This is Tom Hartman, 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 25 past the hour. Interesting article here on Alternet. They picked it up from the San Francisco Chronicle. It was by Ruth Rosen. If it was by Ruth Rosen, it was probably actually syndicated all over the place. But it's called Why Single Women Must Vote. And I thought this was fascinating. I have a take on this, which is a little different from theirs. But anyhow, Celinda Lake and Stan Greenberg, which are a couple of Democratic pollsters that are credible and well-known, just put out a survey that a lot of Democrats, a lot of the folks in politics, you know, the polls or whatever they call it, are taking very seriously. In this study, they found, and here's a quote from Celinda Lake, "Unmarried women represent millions more voters with very clear concerns about the economy, health care, and education," end quote. And then Greenberg added, "If unmarried women voted at the same rate as married women, they would have a decisive impact on this election and could be the most important agents of change in modern politics. But the reality is," end quote, "but the reality is that only 52% of single women vote, whereas 68% of married women vote." Now, they point out 6 million single women failed to vote in the last election cycle. And when they looked at them, they surveyed them, they found that it was a diverse group, you know, crosses class, regional, ethnic, racial lines, of course, as you would expect. But 65% of them, regardless of any of those criteria, said that the country is headed in the wrong direction. Single women, by and large, are single wage earners, divorced single parents, not always, of course, but they mostly earn modest salaries. I'm quoting from the article here. "Single women who mostly earn modest salaries are not great supporters of either tax cuts for the wealthy or huge expenditures for war or the military." In other words, they might not be in love with George Bush's policies. Instead, Ruth Rosen writes, they worry about economic security, health care, good schools, and social security. They're also more likely to hold progressive views on abortion, gun control, and gay rights, all wedge issues that will influence voters' decisions in the next election. So the big question that the Democrats have is, how do we mobilize these people? How do we get them out to vote? Because this is the single largest demographic group of non-voters. And nobody can figure out why they're not voting. Well, I think it's pretty obvious why they're not voting. They're not voting because so many of them are not voting, because they're working and taking care of kids, and I mean, they're just too busy. I think that there's a huge demographic of people that goes beyond just single women in the United States who can't get off from work, who have, you know, so many responsibilities, and maybe if the stakes are really high. And I think this election cycle, the stakes are going to be perceived as really high. And so that might draw out a lot of people. But I think, you know, in 2002, 2000, there were a lot of people who just said, you know, I'd like to vote, but I can't afford to take the time off from work. And after school, I got to pick up the kids, or after school, after work, I got this to do or that to do. I got to run errands. I got to go shopping. You know, take care of the laundry. I mean, it's just a million things you have to do. I mean, just it seems like we're all working three jobs. You know, everybody is where it's like those guys with the plates spinning in the air. You know, on all the sticks, and so many of us are feeling like that. You know, I think, and so number one, of course. Electoral reform. Let's move the elections to the weekend. Or let's make Election Day a national holiday where employers are required to allow employees to take, you know, at least a few hours out of the day to go vote. I mean, that's pretty straightforward stuff. Of course, you know, you're not going to hear anything about that from the Republicans who are in charge right now. But I think that because the stakes are so high in this upcoming election, I suspect that that's going to be what's going to bring out these folks. But it's an interesting thing, and there's a lot of folks scratching their heads trying to figure out, you know, why is this? I think my idea is common sense. If you've got another one, let me know. This is Tom Hartman. It's 29 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
San Francisco Bay is one of the most unique and important ecosystems in North America, and it's in the middle of one of its biggest population centers. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. San Francisco took its name from the bay it overlooks, and John Hart says that's a clue to the bay's importance. Hart is the author of San Francisco Bay, Portrait of an Estuary.
You can think of it as an intersection of two animal highways. There is the north-south highway of the Pacific Flyway, perhaps the most important stop for shorebirds and for waterfowl. About a million individuals of each can be found in the fall and winter. And the other highway is the east-west highway, traversed by anadromous fish and other water creatures.
Salmon pass through the bay as they head into rivers, and a variety of Pacific fish species spawn in the estuary. But the San Francisco Bay Area is a major urban center. It's also a significant agricultural producer and a base of major industries, including shipping, oil refining, and chemicals. On top of all that, recreational use is growing. Hart says all these interests have to share the resource.
San Francisco Bay is not a wilderness, and it never will be a wilderness again. It's got 8 million people living around it. Along with the population, you've got a tremendous amount of industry, tremendous amount of transportation, big ports, all kinds of vested and economic interests that can't just be disapproved of and shrugged aside. We're all here, and we have to work out a way of living with the system.
Hart says San Francisco Bay has been improving since the 1960s, and he says wetland restoration efforts just getting underway will make it even better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman, the Tom Hartman Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Well, some interesting comments in our chat room. Lou5050 made the point that a lot of, single moms frequently are terrified of the implications of being called for jury duty. And it makes a good point. And in fact, I've thought for a long time that jury duty should be tied to having a driver's license, not to being a registered voter. We are actually providing people, you know, as much as we all love the idea of trial by jury and it's the American way and all that, nobody really wants to serve on jury duty. And everybody knows stories about how to get out of it. You know, you go in and you mutter, "Oh, kill him, fry him under, oh, kill him, yeah, fry him, cook the guy, yeah, hang him, hang on." Under your breath, you know, all the time that they're, you know, I mean, it's just all the funny things that people do to get out of jury duty. Sometimes work and sometimes don't, but... registering to vote means that you're on the list for jury duty. That's something that should be changed. Motor voter, the thing where people can register to vote when they get their driver's license renewed. A lot of states are doing that now. They do that here in Vermont. I think it's a great thing. A lot of states are not. We need more of that. Some good suggestions there. And people saying, hey, you know, what happened here? So 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Ed from Dayton, Ohio is on the line. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, I was listening to you talking about the problem with not enough single women voting, and I think there are a couple of things that could be done to help with that. One is that liberal and progressive political organizers need to focus on single mothers and providing some incentive and logistical support for them to register and vote. You know, I mean, it could be complicated, but where they can, I think, you know, offering a day of free daycare and, you know, transportation and help and all of those things. I mean, we do a lot of those things to help retired people vote, and there's no reason we can't do it for single mothers. But in the future, I think what we ought to do is voting needs to be a federal holiday. They could do away with Columbus Day and replace it with Election Day.
Yeah,
and,
or merge them together for that.
Or whatever, yeah. You know. Well, that would require a constitutional amendment because, making Election Day a holiday is one thing, but changing Election Day to a different day would require a constitutional amendment. And we don't need to have to make it that complicated. But a tax deduction that you get for having a paper receipt for voting.
Yeah, I mean, there are some countries, I think in Australia, you get a $25 fine if you don't vote. I could be wrong, but...
Well, I don't believe in punishing people for choosing not to vote, but I think that we should reward people for choosing to vote.
Yes.
And I think getting some kind of a rebate added to your tax return or a break somehow would be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know. But the making it a federal holiday and making it so that the election is a 24-hour cycle and that everybody, that voting starts at the same time, you know, they could start at 4 in the morning and run until Eastern time and run until midnight, you know, in California.
The problem is Hawaii.
Well, you know, we wouldn't be able to make it, you know, the same, maybe the same time for Hawaii and Alaska, but we could certainly, you know, cut down on the amount of this, anticipatory declaring that goes on.
Yeah, a good one.
If we just, you know, I mean, it could be made a lot better. I don't think we can make it perfect. You know, imagine what it must be like in Russia where they got 10 or 12 time zones.
There you go. Good suggestions, Ed. Good suggestions. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. Shar, whatever the case is about, it happened to you. What do you mean? Oh, jury duty. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. I'm not sure I still understand, but let's go to Jane, and you can fill me in. Jane from Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Jane, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call, Tom. You know, I got to thinking about something, and we're having so much trouble with the members of Congress about Social Security and universal health care.
Yes.
And maybe we ought to get a bill started in Congress to put politicians on Social Security, and then maybe they'd know how we feel.
Well, they actually are.
No, they're not. They have a plan where they have the benefits, all the benefits they want. They're not on Social Security.
No,
they
Jane...
get, no, they have a calc. Get a lot of money. We're asking the wrong questions. Maybe the senators and congressmen, they don't pay into Social Security, and of course they don't collect it because they had a plan established some time ago that they can get a big retirement when they die. Not when they die, but when they retire. And based on figures, they could get something like $7 million for their whole lifetime.
Yeah, Jane, let me just pause you there for a minute.
Huh?
There is an email that's been going around for more than 2 years now that talks about that and talks about how, you know, Ted Kennedy's going to get millions and all this other stuff. It's a lie. It's not true. The senators and congressmen, actually, there is a pension program associated, but it's nothing like that. And they do pay into Social Security, and they do receive Social Security benefits.
Well, but they
it's
also...
It's an urban legend that's been promoted by somebody on the extreme right that has taken on a life of its own.
They can get their health care wherever they want.
That's right. They do have an excellent health care program.
That's right.
And that's why John Kerry said, you know, in his, I saw him the other day on TV, he said, you know, that he had had prostate cancer and he got it fixed. Why? Because he's a senator. He's got the best health care system in the country. And everybody in America should be on the same health care system.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of politicians who are starting to say that. But these guys can retire with millions of dollars. That's just not true. It's an urban legend.
Their retirement is, I don't know, somewhere around, I don't know whether it's more than 2.5%. It used to be 2.5%, and it's probably more than that. But I know that they get more than anyone else does, and then when they retire, they get a lot more. And when you figure that they've been getting PAC money that they can probably keep, that they're in pretty good shape. But then all of us who are on Medicare, if we're on Medicare, and I'm talking about an incident that I know of, where they can't even get any help. They need help. They can't get help in there because maybe they're making a little more than Medicare would qualify them to have.
Yep.
And yet the people like immigrants who are coming in get Medicaid and they don't have to worry about anything. And I'm talking about an incident in my family and I'm really rather upset about it because we can't get anything and it's really in a bad situation.
I understand Jane and I agree with you that our elected officials should be getting what we get or we should be getting what they get. I mean I think it's just that simple, very straightforward. It certainly would change things and thanks for calling and making that point and I appreciate the call. Bob in South Carolina is on the line. Bob, your thoughts on all this?
Hey Tom, how are you?
I am great. What's up, Bob?
Tom, I just returned from Mexico City, my first trip, and I think if any American or every American should be forced to fly over Mexico City at about 500 feet of altitude,
Oh, the last time I was there was about 12 years ago, and I could not breathe the air.
Yeah, well, I mean, they should just see how fragile what we call our constitutional or representative democracy is. You've got a city with 24 million people in it. Probably fully 22 million people are living in just the most abject poverty that we could even imagine.
Yep.
And you probably got 100,000 that are incredibly rich, and the small center, the small middle class, yeah, are just barely hanging on by the skin of their
teeth.
Well,
this is the conservative vision, Bob. I mean, what you're describing is the world that Grover Norquist wants to bring you.
That's exactly what I was trying to bring out. The manufacturing plant where I visited, his operators make 100 pesos a day, $9 a day.
Right.
And he's actually considered moving his plant because it's too expensive.
Yeah. And it, you know, there's no sense of social responsibility. It's just, let's make all we can. And, in fact, tomorrow we're going to have a guy on the program from the, I think it's the Ayn Rand Institute, who's going to tell us why Walmart is a good thing for America. It should be interesting.
But it's just so obvious that there's the lack of any regulations or anything in place to protect anybody or the environment or the highways or the water or anything.
Yeah, we're seeing the third worldification of the United States under this administration, and it is not an accident. I mean, it really and truly is the conservative agenda. You can boil the whole thing down to two words: cheap labor, and that's what it's all about. Bob, thanks for the comment. In fact, here's an article. This was published on WorldNetDaily.com, which is one of the conservative websites. It's by a guy named Henry Lamb. It's called How to Stop Exporting Jobs. And he says, and I quote, "It's really quite simple. To stop the outflow of American jobs, all that is required is to repeal the minimum wage law, outlaw labor unions, repeal the Americans with Disabilities Act, dismantle OSHA, abolish the EPA, repeal the Endangered Species Act, abandon the ecosystem management policy, repeal all articles of the Clean Water Act that affect non-navigable waters, and, in general, to return America to the social status of India, China, and the other nations to which American jobs are flowing." End quote. And I want to get into a discussion at some length about these issues. There's more to this than just the surface stuff, and just the whole idea of how you know what the conservative agenda is versus what a progressive vision would be, and frankly what a rational middle of the road vision would be. I mean, how America was organized and ran through the 1940s and through the 1950s and through the 1960s and through the 1970s up until Ronald Reagan came along and started, you know, suspended the enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act and other similar laws, and we saw this mergers and acquisition mania that led to situations like we're seeing out in Humboldt County right now. Whistle from Alabama's on the line. Hey, Whistle, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you, Tom?
I'm alive and kicking. What's up?
I was just going to say, on the whole voting issue, why don't they just open the polls at midnight in Eastern time and close them the following midnight in Hawaiian time? They'd be open 24 hours all the way across the country, even longer than that because you have the time change, and everybody'd get a chance to vote on their own time. And if we used a paper ballot instead of the computers, then they wouldn't be hacking into the system and stealing our votes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of issues around this.
And that you just read with the labor, they forgot to take away the children need to be working too. If we get our kids to work.
That's right. We got to do away with our child labor laws.
Yeah, that would really get us productive again.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, it's welcome to the wonderful world of the conservative worldview. And here's the motto. I mean, this is the libertarian perspective. It's all about freedom. That's what they're saying. You know, it's all about freedom. That a corporation should be free to offer whatever job it wants, and you and I should be free to work for whatever we want. And what they completely forget is that there is power. There is a power equation there. And one of the purposes of setting the rules of a game, whatever the game is, whether it's baseball, soccer, or business, is to make sure that the power relationships stay relatively equal so that the game can continue without anybody being injured.
Yeah, but corporations don't breathe.
Yeah.
They're not people.
Yeah, absolutely. You're singing my song. Whistle, thanks for the call. I appreciate the comment. Well said. 13 minutes before the hour, Raphael? Is it Raphael in Salem, Virginia on the line?
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Yeah.
Yes, the reason I'm calling is regarding outsourcing and jobs leaving the country. And I used to be, I'm a liberal, and I used to be for NAFTA because it would help developing nation and help Mexico. And I travel internationally, and what occurs, and a lot of people don't realize that I've had this discussion with my friends because they think we're helping those developing nations, is as companies leave, what they do is plants are set up internationally, but those plants aren't owned by the companies. They're basically jobbers. And so what has occurred, I know at least five or six plants in Mexico that went in under NAFTA. They came into the city, and a lot of businesses closed because the people went to work at those plants. And now the plants are closing, and they're going to India. Because the companies that were buying the apparels and the shoes and things, they were being basically made for them under their trade name, and these companies were toll blenders or basically toll manufacturers. And so they could pull stake at any time, and it's based on low labor. So now these cities are much worse off than they were 5, 6, 7 years ago before.
And then the other thing that's missing from that equation, Raphael, that you've probably seen and maybe didn't realize you were seeing, because I travel a lot internationally, and for a number of years I did international relief work, and right in the middle of third world, literally working in famines. Is that a lot of people in these third world countries are leaving sustainable small agriculture lifestyles, and they're living out in the country, and they've got these little farms where they can sustain themselves and their families, and they have for generations and generations and generations. They're leaving these to go into the cities to get jobs, and the reason why is because we are subsidizing the production of agricultural products, and it's not just the United States. Most of the developed countries of the world are doing this, the European countries as well. We're subsidizing the production of, for example, corn, to the point that American corn sells in Mexico for less than Mexicans living on the land, Mexican peasants, can grow it for. And so we're putting small farmers out of business, and that creates these economic dislocations that throws all these people into these huge cities, and then you've got this willing workforce ready to work for 100 pesos a day, as Bob commented.
Particularly, you're seeing this in the Philippines, you're seeing it in Mexico, and in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's happening all over. Raphael, thanks for the call. I appreciate your validating the perspective there. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. This is Tom Hartman. 10 minutes before the hour, a program where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Rachel, and in 3 months I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers. instead of sitting on hold with tech support?
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troops' lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This is what they
contract.
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
you
I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. 4 minutes before the hour, our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont, engineered by Shar Jones in Detroit. Brad Walrod edited and selected our music, and thanks to the folks in our, and thanks to all of you, and thanks to the folks in our chat room who showed up and hung out and provided nice feedback and said good things, and occasionally some kind of wacky things. Well, it turns out that about the only way that if you're a scientist working in this administration that you can tell the truth about science is to resign. This is what Paul Craig did, a physicist and engineering professor at the University of California. He was on a panel, government panel, that was put together to determine how safely nuclear waste could be stored out at Yucca Mountain, Nevada. This is where they're planning in 2010 to put 77,000 tons of highly radioactive waste from commercial and military sites in 39 states. And they're going to put it in tunnels. And he told the Associated Press, and he just laid this out, but he had to quit his job first in order to be able to do it. And he said, the science is very clear. If we get high-temperature liquids, which is what you have, by the way, when you have highly radioactive nuclear waste, the stuff is at low level of fission all the time. It's producing a little bit of heat, and you get a whole bunch of it. It produces a lot of heat. If we get high-temperature liquids, the metal would corrode, and that would eventually lead to leakage of nuclear waste. I mean, this is stuff that's going to be glowing, metaphorically speaking, for a million years. And how long ago were the pyramids built? How arrogant are we to think that we can put this stuff in 55-gallon drums and stick it in? It's remarkable. And yet the administration wouldn't let him talk about it, so he quit. The destruction of science at the hands of the Bush administration, just one of the outrages that must bring us all out to the polls in November. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Through a hole in the air, from those gnats to Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick up furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you